Come on, we got to, how is everyone?
Good.
Wow. We can celebrate graduation. And everybody's, how are you doing? I'm good. You know, it's all right. It's just Memorial Day weekend. It's just the kickoff of summer. Not that big of a deal, you know. School's almost out. These crazy kids are about to lose their mind, right? Parents are praying that it's a short summer break. That being said, wherever you are, we're going to continue our series, Men of the Word. But before we go to that, as Matt mentioned in the welcome today, I want to make sure that I make special mention of this, because as we're here live in the house today, we're going to be celebrating some graduates today. Absolutely, absolutely. We's getting graduated. Everybody's graduated, but also today is a day that we celebrate Memorial Day, and we just want to say right now for all of our Gold Star families, we just want to say thank you, because the men and women who have gone out and fought for the freedoms that we get to deserve are a picture of Jesus by how they willingly went out and fought for our freedom, whether we loved them or appreciated them or not. So let's go ahead and say thank you. Let's give a round of applause to any Gold Star families, for real. We got to say thank you for that today. So I'm going to hide this behind my back without jerking it out. Look at this. Look at this. I look like a politician today. Today I'm announcing my candidacy for craziness, and I will win 100%. So today we're going to continue our series, Men of the Word, Men of the Word. And as we're talking about this series today, wherever you are, we're kind of going in, and we spent the last few weeks learning about some women of the Word, and we're going through these next few weeks learning about men of the Word. So we're going to start it out this week the same as we did last week. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to put it all together in just a minute, but right now I want you to let one person know God knows your name. Let somebody else know God knows your heart. Now let one more person know God knows your purpose. All right, we're going to say it together on the count of three. One, two, three. God knows your name, God knows your heart, and God knows your purpose. So wherever you are today, I want you to know that. If you don't get anything from what I'm about to say or what we're going to dive into, that is what I want you to know. Because today, I just want to ask you this. No, you don't have to raise your hands, because if you do, it's going to make for a long Sunday. So how many of us today are where we thought we would be in this season of life? You don't have to raise your hand. It's all right. Better question is this. How many of us today, when we answered that interview question, where do you see yourself in 5 years? How many of us are there? By the way, for anyone who's going in the workforce, here's your answer, okay? You want to get the job every time? I see myself sitting in your position, Mr. or Miss Interviewer, because you got promoted and you're going to train me to be promoted. There you go. That's free advice. That's all I've got. Now, when you lose that job, we have a wonderful person who is great at staffing, and I will get you in contact with them that can make sure that you get a job. But today, many of us can feel that way, though, can't we? We get this idea in our head that it's supposed to look one way, but reality is completely different. And I want you to know there's a guy in the Bible that knows exactly how you feel and exactly what season you're in. And his name is Naaman. What an awesome name, right? It's a different name. If you saw that name, Naaman, you may not know what that is. I don't think we've talked much about Naaman on a Sunday. Now, we've talked about the prophet that Naaman comes in contact with, Elisha. But today, that's what I want us to talk to, because Naaman is in a space and a place where he didn't think he would be in this season. As a matter of fact, we're going to see in 2 Kings 5 exactly where he thought he was going to be. So if you've got your Bible today, go ahead and get to 2 Kings chapter 5. It should be the 12th book of the Old Testament, 12th book of the Bible. If you want to go ahead and flip there, if you don't have a Bible, as always, we have a Bible free for the asking, really free for the taking, over in the garden. You want to make sure you grab that, write your name in it, you take notes in that Bible, you highlight it, and you bring it back here next week with your smiling face, and we'll be here with our smiling face as well. Digitally, as always, you can follow along with us on the vine.tv/app. On there, you'll find my prayer sashes and all of my books that are available for sale in the lobby. I'm just kidding. None of those things are on there. But what is on there are resources for you, so you can know everything that's happening at the Vine, all the events, but also a place where you can follow along with us in your Bible. And last but not least, I'm thankful for our Vine production team. Thank you. Somebody says thank you. That makes sure wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, it's going to be on the screen for you. If you are at 2 Kings chapter 5, give me an amen. All right, let's learn about Naaman today. Verse 1 says this, 2 Kings 5, verse 1 through 4. And it says this, "Now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy." See, many of us, this is where we want to be before we go on, right? Everything before that last comma, sign me up. I'm ready to go. Man, I'm a gladiator. I'm a soldier. I got high status. People love me. The king knows my name. I'm a great man in the sight of everyone. Even the Lord himself that I don't worship gives me victory. But the season that Naaman's in is he has leprosy. It goes on to say in verse 2, "Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'If only my master would see the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy.' Naaman went out to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said." Now, see, this is so important. Leprosy at the time, believe it or not, so Aram, it's in the country of Syria, if you're trying to figure out where that is. Samaria that this young girl's talking about is actually Israel, okay? So Naaman is in this space and place. He's got leprosy. He's got this skin condition that cannot be healed. Now, you would think in all of his greatness, it would have already been healed. He probably had all the salves, all the miracle cures, all the late-night TVs that came on. Well, they didn't have TVs, I guess. All the late-night shows that he rode his camel to, whatever. All of those things he had, and none of those could cure him. He was at a space and a place, or he probably was judged more by the condition of his skin, so he made himself work harder to get status, harder to get where he was. But the truth of the matter is, there was nothing that could heal it unless there was an intervention from the outside. And this little girl, who's held captive, came from Israel serving his wife. She's literally a slave. It says that she's captive, but she's a slave. She is in chains and says to Naaman, "Hey, if you knew about this prophet where I came from, he would heal you." Now imagine when she says this, she must be trustworthy, but as we talked about last week, what is the kind of faith we're called to have as a what? Everybody said, y'all couldn't hear it, nobody in here. I heard childlike, somebody got, but it was so loud, it was ruckus, we had to turn the sound down. It's all right. A childlike faith. Now let me ask you this, he's about to go 100 miles. How many of you today, when you go, well you're off Monday, hopefully, it's Memorial Day, or you're like me and you work all the time because that's just the way the Lord plans it. So maybe you go into your boss on Tuesday and you say, "Guess what? My niece told me I've got to go 100 miles away to be healed." For you and I, let's say that's Charlotte, all right? So you go to your boss and you say, "Listen, oh, the 600 will be over, but I have to go 100 miles away to the NASCAR Hall of Fame because my niece told me that's what I need to be healed, and I need a few weeks off to do it." How many of us think their boss would give it to them? I mean, they would. They would say, "Here's your termination paper, and you go ahead and you enjoy as long as you want in Charlotte." Yet all of a sudden, Naaman's stature with the king, we're about to see, he's going to tell him to go. The little girl's childlike faith, I mean, imagine he probably asked her, "Have you ever seen him cure anyone from leprosy?" "No. I did see him raise somebody from the dead, though." We'll give it a shot, right? Naaman's searching, and so he has this little girl's faith who then helps compel him to take a step of faith. And if you want to know the upside-down economy of God, the girl who is literally physically in chains, held captive, is teaching the one who's supposed to be free, who's held captive by his condition. See, she's the one who's actually free by her faith, and she's trying to help Nathan to get free in his. Verse 4 shows as he goes to the master, he's searching hard to go find a way to be healed. See, the thing about Naaman's condition, we'll come back to it in a minute, is he couldn't hide what he was struggling with. He couldn't hide what was killing him. See, today you may have something inside of you nobody knows about, and you're fighting it. You're struggling with it. You don't have peace with it. Maybe you can. Maybe others can see it. Maybe they can. But today I want to encourage you, maybe that thing you're struggling with today, instead of you wasting all of your energy fighting it, today's the day you surrender it to the Lord. You lay it at his feet in faith. Because we're going to see what can happen as we walk in faith to see that healing. Verse 5 and 6 says this. This is the king of Aram replying to Naaman. By all means, go. Now, I don't know. I see the commas there. It could have just been like, by all means, go. Or it could have been, by all means, go. Like, he's just like, Naaman, I'm tired of you asking me for cures all the time. But you go. And look what the king of Aram or the king of Syria says. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. Now, I joke saying the king was probably tired of Naaman, but honestly, he's probably wanting healing for Naaman too. They've done everything they can to heal him, so he goes and sends a letter to the king of Israel. Now, the little girl, did the little girl say a king of Israel would heal Naaman? No, a prophet, a man of God. But you see, to the king of Aram, he says, well, the only man of God there could ever be because of manifest destiny has to be the king. So he sends the king a letter. And Naaman, imagine the excitement he has. Like, man, could this be it? This is what I was searching for. This is the cure that I need. So much so, the worth of the gold and silver he brings is over $3.3 million today. And 10 changes of clothes. I imagine him changes of clothes. He's thinking about all of those times in his life that he had to RSVP no because I can't because of my skin condition. As a matter of fact, lepers had to be left out from everyone. They had to be separated because everyone was so afraid that if they touched someone, they would contract the disease. So they were outcasts. So even though he's got high standing, he's an outcast. And he's had to check RSVP no on everything. And now he's like, man, that RSVP no where I said I can now check yes. I can. I imagine those 10 changes of clothes were some shorts and a t-shirt and some sandals. He was ready to go. He was ready to get his beach party on. He had his straw hat and tons of sunscreen because he gets sunburnt like I do. But he was ready to go. He's excited to go do that. But just in case, he's going to bring $3.3 million to pay for it. Now, I don't know, some of you I know in the audience today and our Vine fam have $3.3 million in the bank. I think all of you do, right? We're all in the prosperity gospel. No, we're going to see that. That's not where any of us are. But honestly, I think all of us can say we've been at a point in our life that we have wrestled with something so much, we would give everything to be set free from it. That's where Naaman is. He's looking for relief. He's going to carry this letter. Let's see how the king of Israel responds to this letter. It says in verse 7 through 10, it says, as soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. So when we hear tear his robes, we talked last week, that's a sign of grief. It's not a sign of Hulkamania getting ready to be unleashed on everyone. When he does that, it's actually sorrow. The king of Israel's like, he's already took my people captive. Now he's goading me to fight him. He's trying to make me heal somebody and do something I can't do. I think some of us can know that's true in our life too, right? When we try to do everything in our own strength, we'll always come to the end of ourselves. We'll always be frustrated. It'll lead us to grief and sorrow. It spins us into a tailspin like the king of Israel is of, am I God? Really, it's how could you, God? Like, you made me king of Israel. Now all of a sudden you're going to have this man carry me captive. What in the world am I supposed to do? But let's see what happens when Elisha steps in. It says this in verse 8. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. I love how Elisha does that. He is not afraid of who he is in the Lord. Like, he just puts his foot down. He was like, dude, no big deal. Come on. Like, send him my way, and we're going to point him to the Lord. And he's going to know who the God of all creation is. Verse 9 says this. So Naaman went with his horses and his chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him to say, Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. So we see two different men in Israel. The king of Israel with all the status and the power, yet realizing he's powerless when it comes to healing this man. We see the man of God, we see Elisha secure in who he is in the Lord, knowing his purpose and what he's called to do that. Elisha himself knows he can't heal the man, only the Lord can. And he tells him to send Naaman on. So Naaman comes with all the pomp and circumstance that he thinks he should. He's thinking he's going to roll up on the mansion of Elisha, the prosperity gospel by all. This is the man of God. He goes in and, you know, I imagine Naaman's coming in with his couple of camels rolling around in his Lear chariot, if you will, that doesn't have to stop too many times all the way through, right? It only has to stop for water one time on the way there, unlike the others that have to stop for twice, right? Tough crowd. Y'all will look it up later. Pray for them and me. All that to say, he expected that there was going to be something greater, and then all of a sudden he goes to Elisha's door. He knocks on the door, and Lurch opens. You ring. Go wash yourself in the river 7 times. Never meet your heroes, am I right? Because that's what happened. Naaman's like sitting, like imagine his shock, like I've come all this way to see you. I've brought all this money. I have all these clothes. I'm preparing. I've even gone to the king, and all you're going to do is send Lurch to tell me what I'm supposed to do, to go wash 7 times. Like, can you imagine where he is? We're about to see he responds in anger. Before we beat him up about it, wouldn't you? Like, do you think the man's never taken a bath? Do you think he hasn't tried to wash himself to cure himself of leprosy? And yet this man says, hey, go on down to the river and go wash yourself 7 times. You know, like he was going down to the river to pray. Down to the river. Oh, brother, we're out there. You're welcome. See, you'll know. You'll get there in a little bit. We know. Going down, it's going to be stuck in your head and mine too. Verse 11 through 13. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned off and went in a rage. Now, before we go to verse 13, let's look at this. See, we have to understand the Jordan to the Syrians, they called it a ditch. D is in dog, before you counsel me online thinking I said something bad. They called it a ditch. It was dirty water. Jordan River did not have pristine banks. It flooded all the time. We know that. Remember in Joshua when it was flood stage, when they crossed over into the promised land? And so it wasn't a clean river. You weren't going to have your wedding reception there. You weren't going to be married by the banks of the Jordan. You would be married in Damascus by the banks of these two rivers. They were pristine, clean. It was awesome. You were able to be able to enjoy it. The waters were more clean. And so Naaman is there saying, okay, let me get this straight. I've tried to wash myself in clean water all of my life, and nothing changes. But you want me to go take a mud bath. That's it. Seriously. You want me to take a mud bath. Now, how many of us today that we would trust that? Before we beat him up, how many of us today would trust that? I don't know about you, but I would just be like, yep, my last time seeing you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Don't send a bill because I ain't paying it. Like that being said, that's it. I ain't have anything to do with you. And so Naaman's angry. And I don't know about you. I would be angry too. But you see, if we're not careful, many of us get caught in that same trap. See, Naaman is attacking the messenger but not listening to the message. And often that's what we do. Specifically when it comes to the truth of the gospel, I'm going to be honest with you, in church world we do that. We expect pastors to be perfect, and they certainly are not. I'm example number 1,000,000. None of us are perfect. And so you attack the message of the gospel by the messenger that's delivering it, and so you use it as an excuse not to be obedient. And so today, maybe that's where you are. And I'm going to say we all are in need of God's grace and mercy. Lay that down to him today. Stop attacking the messenger. Let God take care of the messenger, but be obedient to the message. See, when Naaman is obedient to the message, we're going to see his healing will come. But as long as he's mad at the messenger, he's going to miss out. So we have some really close friends to him that do something for him. In verse 13, it shows what those friends do. It says, Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" Wash and be cleansed. See, Naaman is caught in the I thoughts. Many of us can be there. Hey, I thought if I got this degree, it would work out this way. I thought if I married this person, it would go this way. I thought if we married, it would be happily ever after, like the Disney movie says, and we wouldn't have to work on our relationship ever again. Married couples can chuckle because they know that ain't the truth. I thought if we had kids, it would get easier. I thought if we moved to this address, it would be better. I thought if I went to this job, it would satisfy me more because my bank account was higher. I thought is what Naaman is caught in. And if we're not careful, we'll get caught in the I thoughts and miss out on the reality of the hope of our healing because we're too busy comparing it to some fictional idea in our head. But yet, Naaman's servants say, "Hey, dude, get out of the I thoughts." They push him past the I thoughts. Maybe that's you today. You're stuck in the I thoughts. I thought if I took this step of obedience to the Lord, it would look this way. I thought if I trusted Jesus, it would be this way. But here's the thing I want to remind you that Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 55. You can look in verse 8 and 9. Verse 9 specifically reminds us, Isaiah 55, 9 says, "His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts." So that thought that you had, think about the one who's in control of all of it. And would you trust him with it more than what you thought it's supposed to be? See, those I thoughts are about to turn into I knows for Naaman. Those servants said, "Listen, get past this. As a matter of fact, you're so busy thinking that it was going to be this big tent revival. They were going to lay hands on you and bust out the snakes." Punch you right in the throat. They were going to bust out the snakes and he was going to wave this magic hand and wand and sash all over you and you were going to be healed. But it wasn't that way. If he would have told you to give all of your $3.3 million, Naaman, you would have said, "Yes, it's a great sacrifice. I'll do it." If you were to crawl on your hands and knees from Israel or Samaria, as it's written, all the way to Aram, which is Syria, 100 miles away, dude, you would have signed up. You said, "I'll do it twice. I'll sacrifice it." If he told you to pluck out your left eye, Naaman, you do it. But he simply told you to have faith and go wash yourself 7 times. You just got to trust it. Church, this is God's grace for us. It's that simple. It doesn't make sense. His undeserved, unmerited favor for us doesn't make sense to us. We think we've got to have some great sacrifice to be a part of it. And Naaman is about to figure out what all of us have to be reminded of. God blesses obedience more than sacrifice. And we think that it should be our great sacrifice that God should bless. But Jesus has already paid the greatest sacrifice for us so that we can walk in obedience. And that is where Naaman is. And so this is why I'm sharing that with you. In this world we live in, I just talked about attacking the messenger, not the message. If we share the truth of the gospel, do we believe it's going to make some folks angry? It absolutely will. Do you know why? The gospel's offensive. It tells me my way of living isn't how I'm supposed to live. Yet we won't speak up because we're more worried about someone being angry than them hearing the truth. I want to tell you the biggest disappointment for me if I go to heaven is that I didn't share the truth of the hope of the gospel with you because I was worried about you being angry with me. I would rather you be angry with me on this side of eternity than try to make peace with you and be a friend with you now and miss out on eternity forever in heaven. I can't save you. But it's my responsibility to tell you who did save me, whether it makes you angry or not. And church, this is, I know I keep pushing to this, this is our moment. I know we don't believe it. I know you may not think it, but this is the moment we were created for. I'm not talking, you know everything. I'm not talking on street corners. I'm just trying to watch some WWE, bro. I don't care. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to go have a good time. It don't make a lick of difference to me. I don't need you to tell me I'm going to hell for that. I'm not. I know better. Because I've seen Jacob's ladder, right? Like, come on, there was a table, ladders, and chairs match in the Word. Like, you get excited about that. I'm just saying. But we have to be unafraid to share the truth. And this is what I mean. This house is a place where all have a place, but we will not neglect the truth of the gospel, that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, that is Jesus Christ. And we can't save ourselves. And God loved us enough because of that. He sends His one and only Son to make a way for us to be saved. Only thing we can have is faith to receive it. See, Naaman starts to see this obedience being blessed. It says this in verse 14 through 16. So he went down and he dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. See, what I love about this is I imagine Naaman's going down to this river. This dirty river, right? And there are people on the banks. Do you see that guy over there? He looks like he's a big deal from Syria. Is he trying to do something? What is he doing? What is he? Is he baptizing himself? Like, what in the world is he doing? He goes down one time, and he comes out of that water. No change. He goes back down the second time. No change. Maybe he's thinking the third time, there'll be a little, the spots will start to heal just a little bit. The third time he comes out of that water. No change. He's probably filled with shame. He's filled with guilt. He's like, man, I'm such an idiot. I let a child tell me that I was supposed to come here, and some dude that wouldn't even talk to me told me to go wash myself 7 times. So the fourth time he goes down, he comes up out of the water, no change. The fifth time he goes down, he comes up out of the water, no change. The sixth time he goes down, he comes out of the water, no change. I imagine at this moment in time he's embarrassed. The people are laughing probably on the banks and be like, he done baptized himself 6 times. I don't know what's going on. Y'all got to get down. Is anybody recording this? Can somebody draw this for us? Get out the stone tablet or papyrus, whatever they did back then. Somebody draw a picture. This guy is crazy. And I imagine that sixth time he was like, Lord, I don't have any, I'm this far. There's no other hope but you. And he goes down into that water the seventh time. He comes out healed. Before we go on to verse 15, this is what I want you to know today. God's going to call you to do something ridiculous to everyone else. He's going to call you to do something that's so crazy, it makes sense to no one else. And when you go take that step, it may feel no different after the first step. It may feel no different after the second step. It may feel no different after the third step of obedience, the fourth step of obedience, the fifth step of obedience, the sixth step of obedience. And then the seventh comes, and it makes sense. But if you quit on 3, you're going to miss out on the fullness of it. Naaman is teaching us, don't quit walking in obedience to the Lord. Now, you see, Naaman's not done. Look what happens in verse 15 and 16. Elisha's got a chance to show who he is in the Lord. Verse 15 says, then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Really quick, his I thought turned to I know. His faith now says, instead of I thought I could be healed, now I know there is no God. He says that, he goes on to say this, so please accept this gift from your servant. And Elisha hit the lottery, went on down to Israel, Vegas, or whatever they called it, and played the slot machines. No. Verse 16, the prophet answered, as surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. Now, I would love to say, now before we go here, really quick, if I told you today I had a $3.3 million check for you, you're going to tell me because we're in church, I wouldn't take it. No. But when that armored truck backs up in your driveway, you're going to know for sure whether you would take it or not. Y'all looking at me funny. See, can somebody get the Brinks truck out? Beep, beep, beep. Not seriously. Yet Elisha says, listen, I want you to know you can't buy. This gold can't buy what only God can give. And as a man of God, I would be stupid to take this gift from you because I know it's not from the Lord. And so he refuses it. Why am I sharing this and why does this matter for each and every one of us? Because in this world we'll live in, it will convince you that everything you want has a dollar figure tied to it. You want to look like the people online, you got to buy this product. You want to live like the people online, you got to buy this house. You got to buy this car. You got to do all these things. It will tell you that gold can buy you happiness. And I'm telling you, it can't. It can't. Because what Jesus gives you is greater than happiness. It's joy. Joy in all seasons. And I know right now maybe you think that I'm being crazy and that you're just like, I just said it. If somebody said, we would all love to say, well, if somebody gave me $3.3 million to compromise myself, I wouldn't do it. But you don't know. You say you won't, but you don't know. If they said, hey, I just need you to pick your nose online and I'll give you $3.3 million. How many times? I need to know. Yeah, how many times? Do I get double if I get both fingers, if I get in there real good and I pull, no? Okay, well. See, we all have that. We can all be that. So before we kind of compromise ourselves like that, let's just think about it this way, though. See, the world will try to tell you you can pay the price for your salvation, your healing, and your wholeness, and you can't. Jesus already has, hasn't he? He paid the full price for it. And so I want you to know today, by faith, you can know that God knows your name, God knows your heart, and God knows your purpose. Who are you in this story today? Are you that little slave girl needing to share your faith with the very person who is oppressing you, the person that you should hate the most? Are you supposed to share your faith today? Take that step. Maybe today you're Elisha. Man, you know who you are in the Lord. You are strong and confident in the calling he's giving you. But maybe you're afraid to share the truth because it's going to make someone angry. Be like Elisha. Don't worry about the anger. Share the truth of the hope of the gospel. You can't save them. I can't save them. Only Jesus can. But I would much rather them hear the truth and have it brought to them than to never hear it. Because that's why we're here. Maybe you're one of the servants. God's called you to encourage someone and help them take their next step and cheer them on as they did with Naaman. Make sure you do that today. Maybe today. You're Naaman. See, for each and every one of us, we all start out as Naaman. We all are there as Naaman. See, Naaman had the leprosy of his physical skin. And I tell you right now, I'd take the leprosy of my physical skin over the leprosy of sin that we're all born into. All of us have leprosy. We have something that is going to kill us, that is destroying us, and it is sin. And you say, I've never sinned. What in the world are you talking about? What is sin? I'm a good person. I'm a great person. So was Naaman. I got a lot of money, and I give a lot. So did Naaman. I have got high standing. You don't know. I try to do good. I serve. I do everything I can. So did Naaman, yet he could not heal himself. See, sin is anything that is against the will of God, and the will of God is perfect. So sin is anything that is not perfect. None of us are perfect. And instead of leaving us in this space and place, why does that matter? Because you and I were created to be in community with Creator God, have a relationship with Creator God. But because of this leprosy, that is sin, we can't do it. And instead of leaving us in this condition as Naaman was, God said, I'm going to make a way. And he sends his one and only son, Jesus, to live the perfect, sinless life we couldn't live, giving us that access to perfection. In other words, making us clean, Not only does he do that, he pays the eternal sacrifice for our sins on the cross once and for all, paying the penalty, bearing God's full wrath for us. Now all of a sudden getting us a seat at God's table, but he loves us enough. He didn't state it. He rose again on the third day so that we could have life and have it to the full. What do we mean by that? So that we can now be cleansed and clean now, just as Naaman was when he came up out of that Jordan River. See, faith in Christ is the only thing that heals. But the question is, what do you have faith in? Do you have faith in the gold and the silver and the changes of clothes, the status, the wealth, the things of this world? Or do you have faith in Christ? Paul reminds us how we can have that faith in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, and it says this: if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. We're going to say a prayer in the moment, in just a moment. It's not the words that saves you. It's the words and the faith that saves you. And so today, that's what I want to lay before you. You want to stay in the condition of leprosy, of sin, as Naaman was at the beginning of this story? Do you want to be exactly who you were created to be, free of this leprosy that can only be found through Christ Jesus? We're going to pray as a Vine fam together. We do it as a family together for those who are coming to faith for the first time. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if for the first time you can say that by faith you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've done that for the first time, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand if you're in this house. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, if you've received Jesus for the first time, maybe you're watching online, you can give a raised hand emoji. You might see a link here in just a moment to thevine.tv/respond, or shoot us a message online. The reason that we want to celebrate this decision with you is this is you not just finishing well. This isn't your fire insurance from hell. This is you starting in the starting block of your life, taking your next steps in Christ to be all that you were created to be. And the best place you can do that is in a local church near you. So we want to help you make sure that you can get connected with that. That's why we want you to send a message. And you're always welcome for this to be a local church that you hang out and grow and become who Jesus created you to be in. For the rest of us, you can go ahead and look up. We're about to step into this moment of worship. Wherever you are in this story, I know that Jesus has a next step for all of us today. We're celebrating Next Steps of Graduation here in just a moment, but each and every one of us get to graduate Next Steps each and every time God calls us to take it in obedience. So as we go to the fount that we have in Christ Jesus, would we just lay down those things, those excuses, those I thoughts that are holding us back from being all that God created us to be? Would you stand and worship?
Come thou fount.
Stand up. Sit. I'm just kidding. Everybody sit down. You're good. I got something for us before we call our graduates up here today. First and foremost, I want to say thank you to Olivia and Tressa, because if I wrote it in my handwriting, none of you would be able to read it. I'm just going to let you know. That's why I had to put the advice was, well, you were at prayer, so you know. All of that to say, so as we get ready before our graduates come up and we celebrate this time, can I share a story with you? I don't care. I'm sharing it anyway. So this week, as I was driving around and just getting ready for this week, now I hope I'll hold this together, but I was driving around and I heard a pastor on the radio telling this story. So it kind of is similar to this. So whoever you are, if you're listening right now, you inspired this. It was Holy Spirit inspired. So I want to share it with you. And it's not exactly his story. Is that okay? Man, we have. We'll come back out. Am I supposed to sing the national anthem? Did y'all give them like some candy? Was there sugar or something? We've conferred. We're going to continue the baccalaureate service, we think. But, okay, I just need everybody to be excited. Is everybody excited? Okay, there we go. That's all I needed. That's what I wanted. So here's the story really quick. Graduates, I want you to know this. As much as you've had to hear me blabber all day, it's okay. I know the Lord is in this. So here it is. There was a man who went to his local donut and coffee shop, huh? He went to his local donut and coffee shop, and he got there, and his habit each and every week at that local donut shop was to get his cup of coffee, his bag of donuts, and read a chapter of his book. And so he goes, and this day he goes into the donut shop, and the place is hopping. It is rocking and rolling. It is full. And he's like, man, I'm not going to have anywhere to sit. And so he goes and he gets his donuts and they write his name on it and he gets his coffee and his name was Cash Money. I'm just kidding. That wasn't his name. He had it. See, we know. Praise Jesus' name. And he looks and over in the far corner is a table with a man sitting at it and an empty chair. And before he goes over there, he asks the man, hey, is anyone sitting here? And the man obviously said, no, everybody knows where we're going. No, he said, may I sit here? And he said, yes. And so he goes and does his normal thing. He puts his cream and sugar in his coffee like a crazy man. Anyway, he does that. I mean, we drink our coffee. I drink it iced. I drink black coffee, but it's iced. You can make fun of me. It's okay. But he goes and he gets his coffee. He opens up a bag of donuts and he goes to start reading his book. Takes the first donut out of the bag. And all of a sudden he sees a hand go across the table and grab the bag, and his friend picks a donut out and eats it, and he smiles at him. He slides the bag over to him. The man was like, well, I guess I did get a seat from him, so it's not that big of a deal. I mean, there's nowhere else to sit in this place, so I might as well sit right here, right? So he goes to keep on reading his book. After all, it was just one donut. He had six in the bag, so it wasn't that big of a deal. So he reaches back down in his bag, and he gets another donut. And all of a sudden, he sees hand creep across the table, pulls the bag toward him, pulls the donut out, eats it with a smile. At that, he snatches the bag from the man that sat across from him. He got it real close. His body language was closed. You know, he gave him the you-know-what look. I love Jesus look. Y'all know that's what it. Come on, we're in church. And so he just said, well, my goodness, what has the world come to? Like, you can't even have a bag of donuts and some coffee in a shop anymore. I'm just going to read my book. We're going to get through the day, and it's going to be fine. And sure enough, a few minutes later, the man that was sitting across from him got up, and he was like, thank the Lord, donut thief. Like, I'm so tired of dealing with this. Let me finish my book. I wanted those other two donuts so badly, and I just didn't want him to take them from me. So he eats his other two donuts, fishes coffee, and he finishes the chapter of the book he was reading, and he goes to clean up his mess. And over on the corner of the table is the bag of donuts with his name on it. See, the whole time he thought the man was stealing from him and he was actually sharing with him. Graduates, this is what I want you to know. Sometimes in your life you're going to think somebody's stealing from you and they're actually sharing with you. But the most important thing for you to know is, guess what? God owns all the donuts. Every bit of them he owns. See, we are just stewards of them. That's it. We are stewards of our time, our talent, and our treasure. All of the donuts that we're given, we can either try to keep it for ourselves and think someone's stealing from us, or we can share it. But the most important thing I want you to know is every day there's a seat for you at God's table, and you have a choice. You can either sit down, read a chapter of your book, check your emails, go on and do everything else you want to do for the day and ignore God. And every time you try to eat what's in front of you, think he's trying to take your time, your talent, and your treasure. Or you can have a conversation with God. You can dive into his word. And you can see that the one thing that will give you what you put out of it is his word. Actually, it will give it to you exponentially more. So if you don't get anything out of what I'm going to tell you today and this next step you're going to take, take that seat at God's table. Know that he's got some donuts that he wants to share with you, and they're shaped like zeros because they're zero calorie, okay? So that being said, I want you to know today, you're stewards. So if we could go ahead and have our graduates come on up. We got a little something for you. I promise you we're not going to, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to do my best not to cry here, but I want us just to be reminded of the man in the donut shop. And when you pass that Krispy Kreme, you're going to know that Jesus loves you. I hope that. So we have with us today our graduates. Come on, we got to give them a hand. Not me. I should be the one. Make sure that you grab a picture. We got all kinds of stuff as we say there. But first and foremost, we're gonna get ladies go first. Is that okay? You go with that. And if I start crying, I'm gonna say it's for you and for her. But it might be okay. If you don't know, this is my niece Madeline Ott. She just graduated from Dorman High School, right? I think it was Dorman right now. She knows I know it was Dorm. And so she has plans to go to SEC to get her esthetician's license. She's thinking of opening her own business, right? She's going to do it. Now, I'm going to say it for her, but she's not. There are no friends and family discount. Get over it. So you got $3.3 million, Damon, all right? Pay her worth. She's worth it. I'm just saying. But what I wanted to do is I'm just so thankful for her. I can tell you I'm not going to. Just so many times, I just want to tell you, parents, you know this. I'm going to get you to stand up in a moment, both sets of parents, after we introduce Logan here in a moment. But no matter where you are right now, parents, you may think that you're pulled in 1,000 different directions with those Vine kids. As the song goes, one day you're going to miss it. You're going to miss this. And I'm 2 buildings later, and those things are, they're walking across stage. I mean, it's crazy. Like, I just... All right. So that being said, just thank the Lord for that. So Madeline, we have a little something for you. There may be something in there to a coffee shop. I don't know. Just make sure if somebody's sharing donuts with you, they might be sharing. Anyway, that being said, next we have Logan Chapman, ready to go. You graduated from Bowling Springs, right? He graduated. He graduated a little bit ago. He is also going to SCC, correct? You're going to be doing that auto mechanics, right? So he's going to be knocking that out. So be supportive of him. I can't wait to see what God wants to do in and through him. And listen, man, I don't know anything about cars. I have to. John is the only one. So now I got 2 people I can go. So I'm good. I'm good with that. So now I got somebody. You know, I got the hookup. Once again, no friends and family discount. Let the man get his worth. All right, come on, be good to him. All right, you got $3.3 million. You just heard it today. So we got a little something for you there as well. So before we continue to go on with that, I would love for both sets of parents to stand up. Let's give them a round of applause. Or both parents are here, right? We can see both. They're both at corners, respectively. I love it. Here's what I want you to know. You're going to hear this all the way through, and it's not going to click, all right? They shared their bag of donuts many times, not eating, to make sure you were fed because they loved you that much. And you may not realize it right now, but down the line, you're going to realize they know they're not perfect, and they know they know that they didn't get it all right, but the most important thing they want you to know is that they loved you, and they did everything they can because they love you. So make sure you go home today, and you hug them so hard and tight that they're going to give you 2 bags of donuts. You know what I'm saying? All the way through that they love you that much. So thank you to those parents. Thank y'all. We love you. I want you to know there's a family all around you. What we're about to do, just so everybody knows online, you're going to see us cut the feed. We want to see your smiling face next week as we continue our Men of the Word series and have another celebration. What? But we're going to ask everybody at this time. They're going to cut us off online. We want you to know we can't wait to see you. Have a good week. We love you. Jesus loves you. The best is still yet to come. Share your donuts, people. We'll see you.